lots to talk about when it comes to politics, that's for sure. And that's why we call in the expert. So happy to have San Francisco Chronicle reporter Joe Garofoli on the KSRO live line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. I'm trying to, I feel like my attention is being diverted in, you know, a thousand different directions with regard to, you know, one umbrella story. And of course, the elephant in the room is James Comey and the release of his book, the release of, you know, the first of his billions of interviews, too. What did you make of the interview with Stephanopoulos?
He was one conflicted dude. That's what I made of it. I wasn't less confused by after watching it. I still don't understand why he, you know, chose to announce the Hillary Clinton investigation, you know, when they reopened it, even though they hadn't found anything.
Yeah,
I kind of get his logic there, but not really. And at the same time, he, didn't announce the Trump investigation. But I kind of get it, but don't. But at the same time, it looks like he's trying to ask himself some of these questions, but not necessarily acknowledging that he wasn't consistent in it.
And because of, and I understand why they do this from a promotional standpoint, why they release certain, you know, snippets, excerpts of the interview before it airs, but it didn't seem like there was a ton of new information involved in it, which makes me wonder about the amount of new information there is in his book, A Higher Loyalty. I don't know.
As someone who has read it now, there isn't all that much.
You've read the whole thing, huh?
Yes, we got an early copy.
Was it hard to get through, Joe?
No, it wasn't. It's like it's a
pretty
memoir.
Good read.
Well, it's weird. It's kind of three books in one. It's part of it's a memoir of, you know, his life. Part of it is sort of his feelings on ethics, although that kind of disappears from time to time. And then the last part is his, you know, focusing on the last year or so, all the juicy bits we want to read now. He's a fine writer. It glides by very quickly, but it doesn't leave you any more satisfied like you have answers.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to think about it. It's a memoir. If you think of it as a memoir, he pounded this out basically
pretty fast.
Yeah. So not a whole hell of a lot of reflection went into it. He does seem like a reflective kind of guy, but
as you say, maybe, it doesn't seem like he's come to any conclusions in all of his reflection.
His conclusion is that he would have done, like you said on TV, he would have done it the same way.
Yeah.
He felt like he was put in a really bad position, and he responded in the best way he could. You know, as he said often, flawed human being, blah blah blah, which we all are.
Yeah.
But you're not gonna come away from this feeling like, oh, okay, now I understand why he did that. Oh, I really get why he did that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get any of that.
Any impact from the book, from all of his massive amount of interviews with regard to the book, anything that could fall upon the Trump administration in a negative way?
Yeah, I don't see anything that's good. We didn't already learn, and this is probably the reason why the Washington Post and New York Times won the Pulitzer Prize yesterday, because all this stuff has been reported from their D.C. bureaus. There's not a whole lot of new bombshells in the book, if you will. It's just mostly, you know, when you have the former director of the FBI saying that the president is morally compromised, that he feels that the Russians have compromised him in terms of trying to meddle with our elections. That's a major thing. But, you know, we already knew those were his feelings, and knew that those were the feelings of the intelligence community, at least about the Russian meddling. So it's like, okay, there's not a whole hell of a lot more in there.
And what about the evolutionary story of Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, and now Sean Hannity?
Yes. Yeah, that could be even more, and that's why the White House is freaking out. Because Michael Cohen was Trump's fixer for many years.
Yeah.
So he knows all the secrets. He knows all the stuff that the president asked him to do when he was a private citizen, and perhaps when he was president, too, so or as a candidate. And so, can you imagine that? That's like that's like the someone getting into all your diaries and reading them. Although these are the legal equivalent of diaries. These are like your lawyer.
See, what it seems to me, though, Joe, is that there are a couple of options here. Either, you know, the prosecutors can get enough on Cohen to get him to flip and tell all, or he can go and maybe spend a few years in prison and then at some point, under the radar, get a big fat payoff down the line. What do you think?
I you know, given those two options, I don't know what else is out there, but I would pick, I think I would bet on the prison option.
Yeah.
I don't know about a payoff, but yeah, this guy's not going to flip. I really doubt that, given how close this guy is to the president. The fact that how many people in the world would you take money out of your house to pay off an adult film star?
None.
One of your friends or / clients. I mean, that's really dedication.
Yeah,
it's hard to beat that for personal dedication.
And what about the fallout? Does Sean Hannity deserve the fallout that has just begun in this scenario? And does he have a right to, did he have a right to remain anonymous prior to the judge's ruling yesterday?
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's still unclear as to who's telling the truth here. Is he really a client? As Cohen says he is, or is Cohen just puffing that up? You know, maybe, and as Hannity says, well, I just, you know, we talked about some stuff, like informally about real estate. Give me some advice on this, blah blah blah. You know, like if you have a lawyer friend, you ask advice, but that's not attorney-client privilege, or even, I mean, it doesn't mean you're necessarily a client. So I don't think we know enough about that yet to say one way or the other, but one of them is not telling the truth. That's what we do know.
And let's move closer to home if we can, Joe. The governor's race in California heating up, of course. It's getting closer and closer all the time. Even as 50 days from now. Wow.
Yes.
Even as there's news coming out about Antonio Villaraigosa, the running for governor, of course, and the money, the millions coming in to support him from charter schools.
Yes. Last week, there's two billionaires, Eli Brode, who's a Los Angeles real estate magnate, and Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix. And they both, Reed gave $7 million, and Brode gave about $1.5 million.
Wow.
Towards an independent expenditure campaign supporting Villaraigosa. We talked to him yesterday about this. He said, hey, these are my friends. You know, people are going to do what they're going to do. They cannot coordinate with the campaign. So what they're going to do is, you know, attack his opponents, most likely. And it's curious to see which opponent they're going to attack. Do they attack John Cox, the Republican who Villaraigosa is battling for second place in the campaign? Or are they going to go after Gavin Newsom? Who are they going to go after? Because remember, the top two finishers in June advanced to, regardless of what party they're in, go on to November.
Yeah, that's a part of this equation that I have to keep top of mind, because it just seems like such an unusual circumstance. But how close are the poll numbers at this stage of the game?
Well, very close for second place. We started today's Chronicle talking about how Villaraigosa and Cox are, you know, neck and neck. I think Cox is at 15% and Villaraigosa is at 13%. They're in second place. Gavin Newsom has about 26% in the latest nonpartisan survey, and he's far out in front. So it's a battle for second. There's several other candidates bunched behind them. But we don't know. This is an open seat.
There's
an unusual number of candidates.
Like
an unusual number of candidates
almost.
with some level of name recognition, or who can get some. So it's essentially at this point a battle for second, but who knows?
Well, it's not going to get any less interesting between now and the election, that is for sure. Joe, thanks so much for being here. Always appreciate your input.
Yes. Okay, thanks for having me.
That is Joe Garofoli from the San Francisco Chronicle.